May the Lord help us to commence this afternoon with hymn 572. Before the earth or seas were made, Jesus was chosen as our head, the Father's first elect. In him the church was chosen too, and he engaged to bring them through, nor will he them neglect. 572.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, reading chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O Virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations, publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country, and gather them from the coasts of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the woman with child, and her that travaileth with child together. A great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. I will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord, for wheat, and for wine, and for oil, and for the young of the flock and of the herd, and their soul shall be as a watered garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and will comfort them, and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy, and there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised, as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. And after that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O Virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah, and in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice, and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself, and in all the cities thereof together, husbandmen, and they that go forth with flocks. For I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked, and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that like as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith the Lord. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth a sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me for ever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the city shall be built to the Lord from the tower of Hananeel unto the gate of the corner. And the measuring line shall yet go forth over against it upon the hill Gareb, and shall compass about to Goath. And the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes, and all the fields, unto the brook of Kidron, unto the corner of a horse gate toward the east, shall be holy unto the Lord. It shall not be plucked up, nor thrown down any more for ever. Amen. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls the reading of his holy word, and help us now as we would come before him in prayer. Most holy and most gracious Lord God, do help us each to come before thee now, or to take thy holy name upon our sin-polluted lips, to come before thee in prayer. Lord, teach us to pray, and grant us that true spirit of prayer. Oh, may there be that communion from earth to heaven. Lord, may our poor cries enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth, and hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, O Lord, forgive, for we are sinners, and sin is mixed in all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do. Oh, what poor sinners we are, sold under sin, cannot cease from sin. Those, Lord, who know what it is to be a guilty sinner before an holy God, or feeling something of a plague of their own heart, that heart which is deceitful above all things, and so desperately wicked, O Lord, who mourn over their sins, who mourn over self, who feel so troubled, so burdened, oh, that I had not of myself, oh, that I could cease from sin. Oh, Lord, those dear souls crying out for mercy, pardon, forgiveness. Those dear souls longing for thy salvation, redemption, or longing to know a precious Jesus, the friend of sinners, the saviour of sinners, who came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Lord, may it be our eternal mercy to be found numbered amongst that people. Lord, those sinners brought to repentance, and do we not read, godly sorrow worketh repentance, and yet from whence godly sorrow? O Lord, it surely must be true conviction of sin. That sight of self, that sight of that wound, O Lord, that sight of our sins, our guilt, Lord, that sight of what we deserve. Oh, Lord, how it troubles the soul. Oh, Lord, the wages of sin is death, and we're all sinners, whether we know it or not, born in sin, shapen in iniquity. We all stand guilty before thee. But, O Lord, may that godly sorrow so work repentance in our hearts unto salvation. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, thou alone. As another hymn writer penned, pour not on thyself too long, lest it sink thee lower. But look to Jesus, kind and strong, pity joined with power. Oh, to be led out of self, and all hope in self, and unto the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, may we be found amongst those seeking souls, seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling upon him while he is near. O Lord, those taught their need of the dear Lord Jesus, and Jesus only, to save them from all of their sins. O Lord, do bless such souls. Remember those who have come in this day, prayerfully, in felt need, in soul trouble. O Lord, those who long to find him, long to know him, whom to know is life eternal, who long to be found in him, believing in him, or like Thomas of old, to be enabled to say, my Lord and my God, my Saviour, my Redeemer, my Shepherd, my Friend, my Counsellor, my Beloved, my all and in all. Oh, may I call thee mine. Lord, oh, do send thy blessed Spirit, and may thy Spirit bear witness with our spirits that we are of the children of God, blessed with that Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. O Lord, if any here are unconcerned, indifferent, presumptuous, if any here are satisfied with a lamp of profession, satisfied with a mere attending to the house of God. Oh, Lord, any satisfied that they have a name to live. Oh, Lord, in mercy, awaken, quicken. Oh, teach them the truth. Oh, that vital need of the oil of thy grace, that work of grace. Oh, Lord, who have mercy and pluck men's brands from the burning. And, oh, Lord, those who have that sweet hope that my beloved is mine and I am his. And yet, Lord, in the pilgrimage, in the pathway, oh, those oppositions, those fears, oh, Lord, still the old man of sin, oh, still Satan, he threatens, he frightens, he accuses, he tempts. Oh, how he troubles, how he vexes the child of God. Oh, how he seeks to cause and to make shipwreck of faith, to destroy all their hope. In this persecuting world, and yet this enticing world. Oh, that way of tribulation. Lord, some here, they feel it in their pathway and things that they're passing through. Oh, Lord, those hard things, those difficulties, those disappointments, those setbacks, those troubles, those trials, those problems, those impossibilities, those mountains. Oh, Lord, sanctify all of these things unto them. Lord, remember any who are struggling. Oh, Lord, struggling to continue, struggling to press on, struggling to pray. Oh, Lord, struggling to believe that they are found amongst the living family of God. All these things are against me. Oh, could it please thee, Lord, to grant some healing balm this day, some help by the way, some word of confirmation. Oh, some sweet comfort, Lord, from thy word. Comfort ye, my people. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem. Or might there be some true comfort this day. Lord, any here rejoicing in that time of first love. Oh, Lord, those who feel the beams of thy grace shining into their soul, who perhaps feel to be upon a mountaintop. O Lord, who still bless them, be with them and remember them. So Lord, remember each one gathered here. We would lovingly remember the dear little ones, the babes, the children, and the young people growing up into life. Lord, bless them each with thy holy fear. Be that wall of fire round about them. Guard them and keep them from this wicked world. Oh, hedge up their ways. Be unto them all that they need. Remember those at school. Do help them in their lessons, in their studies. Those, Lord, with examination soon before them, do grant all needed wisdom and help. And those, Lord, seeking employment, may they look to thee, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will see, the Lord will provide. And Lord, do remember them concerning friendships and acquaintance also, and keep them from them who would be a bad influence, who would lead them astray. Do remember, dear parents, oh, what help is needed, what wisdom, what grace, what understanding, what discernment. The days are so evil, wicked, awful. Oh, Lord, help each parent, and we include grandparents also, oh, to bring our children up aright, to set a good example to them. Oh, Lord, remember all in the midst of life, many burdens, many cares and responsibilities and duties in the workplace and in the home. Remember older friends also, now in the evening time of their life, the grasshopper becomes a burden, and they feel it, and they prove it. O Lord, be unto them all that they need, and Lord, may they know thy light at life's eventide. Lord, remember any here struggling with afflictions, infirmities, weaknesses. O Lord, do sanctify all of these things to them, and if it could please thee, grant healing, restoring mercies. We pray, Lord, for any unable to be here who would have come. Lord, remember them and bless them, O Lord, we pray. Bless this cause of truth, work mightily in their midst. We thank thee, O Lord, for what thou hast done. O, may there yet be others both here and each cause of truth represented. Lord, remember Zion, it's a day of small things. We rejoice where we hear of thy work appearing. O Lord, let thy work yet appear again and again. O, be thankful for present, but still ask for more, that thy name might be glorified. O, great things done in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. We would be thankful for every blessing, every comfort. Oh, we do have so much to be thankful for. Grant us, Lord, truly thankful hearts. And now, Lord, do be with us. Help us as we turn to thy word. Open it to our understanding. Shine upon it that we may see light in thy light. And do forgive our every sin. We ask for Jesus' sake alone.
Hymn 221. Ye children of God, by faith in his Son, redeemed by his blood and with him made one, this union with wonder and rapture be seen, which nothing shall sunder without or within. 221.
as the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to the chapter we read together, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. What a tremendous word. What a most wonderful, glorious, blessed word. And should the Lord, in his great mercy, be pleased to speak this word into the heart, into the soul of anyone here this afternoon, you will never forget it. Whatever things you may be passing through, whatever things you may yet have to pass through, or whatever sorrows, whatever troubles, whatever trials, whatever disappointments, how hard the way may become, or yet to know God's love shed abroad in your heart, or to know his love, everlasting love, that love the Lord grants to his people, he will never, ever, ever take it away. All that child of God may fall, like David, Samson, Peter, and many, many others, but the Lord, he never takes away his love. Oh, that wonderful electing love of God the Father. That wonderful redeeming love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that wonderful sanctifying love of God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that doctrine of election, hated by so many in religion, and yet loved by every child of God. Now, there may be some here this afternoon perhaps struggling with that doctrine of election. Or that God in his sovereignty, because God is sovereign, would choose out of mankind, fallen mankind, sinful mankind, hell-deserving mankind, a people he, in his great mercy, would save. Save from a deserved hell, save from the wrath to come, but also saved that they might be with him in glory eternally, or to bring them unto himself. All that electing love of God. Well, this, I believe, the Lord will teach all of his people. And it's very humbling that had the Lord not chosen us, we never, ever would have chosen him. We have that verse concerning Moses in Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let us notice the first two words. By faith, not of himself, God-given faith. All that grace of faith given to him, that he would choose rather to be found amongst the persecuted, afflicted, troubled, tried, children of God, rather than have the pleasures of this world, the pleasures of sin, for a very short season. The electing love of God. Then, secondly, the redeeming love of the Lord Jesus, the eternal Son of God. For God so loved the world, his people who would live in this world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, what wonderful love to leave the bosom of his Father in heaven, to come down to this sin-cursed earth, to be found as a real man, born of the Virgin, to live that life, all to fulfill the law of God. He came under the law, that he might fulfill that law, that he might magnify that law to make it honourable. He never ever sinned. He wrought out that robe of righteousness to cover and to clothe all his people. And yet he must lay down his life. He must shed his own heart's blood. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Oh, he must be the sacrifice. He must offer himself up without spot or blemish unto God. Yes, that he must suffer, that he must bleed, that he must die to save his people from all of their sins, redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Invaluable blood, all that blood to plead, all that blood to shelter under. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Oh, the dear Lord Jesus, the Saviour, Redeemer, yes, that he died and that he rose again from the dead, triumphing over hell, sin, and death, that he ascended up on high and is even now at the right hand of the Father in glory above. A mighty Saviour, a one who is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. The wonderful redeeming love of the Lord Jesus. Much more could be said. But then, briefly, the sanctifying love of the Holy Ghost. You see, every child of God is born into this world and born as a sinner, but that appointed time, or that set time, known to God. And it doesn't matter where that soul is, how far off, how rebellious, how sinful, how far he's gone into the world, into the ways of sin, whether he's been brought up under the sound of the truth or brought up without any religion at all, it makes no difference. That appointed time will come, when that soul shall be born again. We remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Oh, how solemn are those words. I think in Romans 8, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." But these souls who are born again are blessed with a gift of the Holy Ghost, blessed with that spiritual life. That work of grace has been begun, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, where that work of grace has been begun. I will work, and who will let him? It will be continued. Oh, it will never be prevented. It will never be stopped. The Holy Spirit who enters into that soul, oh, he will teach that soul. He will lead that soul. He will instruct that soul. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now, these words were spoken to Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. Oh, what a pathway he had to walk. Calling a weeping prophet, it just come to mind, we might call him the lonely prophet. What a lonely pathway he had to walk. Oh, it was a day of trouble. It was a day of adversity. He was to witness the captivity of the children of Israel. He was to witness that awful famine, that dearth which came upon the land at that time. He was to witness the opposing armies of the Assyrians coming against Judah and Jerusalem. He was to witness that siege around the city, where there must have been great fear and great sorrow. He was also to witness, whether literally with his eyes or hearing of these things, a false worship. All the abominations the children of Israel were doing, worshipping to false gods, the gods of a heathen. He was also to witness the false prophets, those who spoke lies in the name of the Lord, and yet those to whom the people listened, to whom the people hearkened, to whom the people came to. You see, Jeremiah, he was rejected. He was despised. He was hated. They put him into prison. That wasn't sufficient. They cast him into the dungeon. They wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to destroy him. But the Lord was with him. Oh, he didn't have an easy pathway. He was called to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But he was an elect vessel of mercy. He was one whom the Lord had set his love upon. These words were spoken to Jeremiah. And here in the context, I don't know how many of you know that the book of Jeremiah, the chapters in it, are not in the historical, chronological order. When we read through the Gospels, generally speaking, the chapters are all in that chronological order, from the birth of Christ through to his ascension. But Jeremiah is not. I won't go into the detail now, it doesn't seem right to, but Chapter 31 actually comes towards the end. It appears to be written just before the city was broken up by the king of Assyria. And Jeremiah had been in the prison, he had been in the dungeon, he had suffered many, many great things. Oh, he knew that day would come, then he would write the Lamentations. Oh, many things to lament over, many things to cry over, collectively as well as personally. I'm the man that have seen affliction. Oh, my prayer he shutteth out. Perhaps Jeremiah here was in a very low place, a very dark place. You know, the Lord's people, they come into these low places. Oh, they're not every day able to sing forth the praises of God. At times in their troubles, in their trials and unanswered prayers, and they fear the hand of the Lord has gone out against them, or they feel to be in such darkness, such sorrow. And here the Lord, he comes again to Jeremiah. Oh, the Lord would confirm him. The Lord, if you will, would give him that wonderful lift, that wonderful touch, that wonderful blessing. Or the Lord would yet remind him, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, Now this word here, it's a very powerful word, it's a very strong word, it's a very definite word, it's a word of absolute assurance. Yea, this is true. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. May the Lord help any here this afternoon in trouble, in sorrow, in grief. Any here who have that humble hope that the Lord has set his love upon you, to view these things in the light of eternity. You see, Jeremiah is now in heaven. He is now in glory. He's now with Christ. Or as we have it in that parable the Lord Jesus spoke of the rich man and Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham, or so is Jeremiah. What are those false prophets? What are those wicked kings? What are those who opposed him? What are those who troubled him? What are those things that he was called to pass through? May the Lord help us each to view our afflictions, our troubles, our sorrows in the light of eternity. And yet we do have these things and they do affect us. Or they do trouble us, they do lay us low. And perhaps the greatest trouble any soul could have is soul trouble. Where shall I spend eternity? Does the Lord love me? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Yes, the Lord loves all of his people, and yet really the Lord hates all who are not his people. Oh, this may be a great concern to some here this afternoon, and you long for those evidences, or you long for those tokens for good, that the Lord has set his love upon you. It is that great fear, that tremendous fear. What if the Lord doesn't love me? There is no hope. I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. You may go a little further. How can the Lord love me? I'm so wicked. I'm so vile. I'm so sinful. I'm so hard-hearted. Oh, what hope can I entertain in my soul that the Lord loves me? Again, you may be looking at your pathway, the things that you're passing through. And you say, how can the Lord love me? All these things I am suffering. Lord, my unanswered prayers, the hiding of thy face. I cry and shout, but all my prayer thou shuttest out. How can the Lord set his love upon me? What of you, dear seeking souls here this afternoon, who long to find, but you cannot find? Oh, and then you fear, it's because the Lord doesn't love me. I never will find him. You feel to be cast out of his sight. Well, to whom the Lord loves, the Lord will have dealings. I mean, if the Lord has set his love upon us, the Lord will have dealings with us. The Lord will interfere in our lives. Things will affect us. Things will come to pass. Things will happen to prove God's love toward us. You see, again, that time will come when that soul shall be born again. But with so many as it is concerning our natural birth, we do not remember the day. We cannot remember the day. And yet we know that we are born, that we live, that we are alive. And yet, how many cannot pinpoint or remember the time they hope and trust, that they were born again. Well, again, it is through the Lord's dealings. And to me, there seems to be two very clear ways in which the Lord will make known to his people that he has set his love upon them. Indeed, that they are loved with an everlasting love. One of them is set before us here, and it's beautiful, and it's glorious, and it's wonderful. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Therefore, as proof of my love, as proof of my grace, as proof that I have set my love upon thee, as proof that thou art born again, a child of God, proof that thou art one of my dear children. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. Every child of God will be drawn by the Lord's loving kindness. Now, drawn from and drawn to. They will be drawn from this world which lieth in wickedness. I mean, not literally, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. But by nature, we want to be of the world. We want to eat, drink, and be merry. We want to go the way of the world. Now, again, let us be very clear. The way of the world doesn't always mean that way of carnal worldliness and vain pleasures. It may not be that way of riches and prosperity, seeking to get as rich as one can. It may be a way of religion. It comes rather close, doesn't it? You see, Saul of Tarsus, he had that way of religion, but he was in the world. Oh, at that time, he was yet to be drawn from that way of the world. Ah, but the Lord, that appointed time came with him, as it will with every child of God, with who would be the Apostle Paul. It came very suddenly and very clearly. But I do believe many a child of God, it is more here a little and there a little. There will be that weaning from this world. And that weaning from our idols. Oh, but some may say, but we don't worship idols. If the Lord was pleased to shine into your heart and show you what idols you and I have got in our hearts, you will understand that left to ourselves we worship idols. Oh, not like the Buddhist, not like other religions of old, which have the false gods, the figures they set up and worship, the Dagons and others. But yes, there are outward idols. But what are the idols in our own hearts? What of our idol of self? Worshipping self, putting self upon a pedestal. Self-love. Self-pity, self-righteousness. You see, the Lord must draw us from all of these things. Ah, but the Lord must draw us from this world and the way of this world which lieth in wickedness. But then the Lord will draw us unto himself. And this is a work of grace. God's almighty grace, God's irresistible grace. Or that the Lord will draw us unto himself. By nature, we have no desire to be drawn to God, to the ways of God, to the word of God, to the things of God. Yes, one might be outwardly very religious and satisfied with a form. But without the Holy Spirit, that religion is fleshly. That religion is carnal. That religion will never take a soul to heaven. So the Lord, he interferes in the life. Or the Spirit there works that work of grace. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now the Lord, he will draw his people unto the throne of grace. The Lord will teach them to pray, as the Lord taught you and me to pray. I mean to truly pray, not to merely say our prayers, but to pray from our hearts. The Lord, he brings his people into need. Now, it may be a providential need. It may be some great matter. It may be some great trouble. It may be some great affliction. It may be some great disappointment. But the Lord, he sanctifies whatever it is and uses that to teach these souls to pray, to call upon him, to turn unto him, to cry unto him. But I must be very clear, no providential answers a prayer will take a soul to heaven. Oh, every soul that gains salvation must and shall be born again, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. By and by, the Lord will teach that soul not their need only of providential answers of prayer, but spiritual. Not matters just concerning our time state, but concerning eternity. Our never-dying souls and a never-ending eternity. All the Lord will teach us surely that one thing is needful. One thing. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I often illustrate the two who enter the temple to pray. Really, one of them was drawn there. The publican. He who felt to be such a guilty sinner. Or he who felt to be so vile. He who felt to be so wretched. He who felt to be so unworthy. He who dare not justify himself. You see, that other, he never even came to pray. He came to tell God what a good person he was. He boasted of his self-righteousness. But that publican, he could not so much as lift up his head or eyes unto heaven. He smote upon his breast. He really knew what it was to be a sinner and a guilty sinner in the sight of God. But the Lord drew him to the throne of his grace. Now he would come with that humble boldness. We have it there in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do not misunderstand that word boldly. Oh, it's not that proud boldness. It's not that strong boldness. But it's that access into the holiest of all. Into that way made whereby a poor sinner may come before the Lord in prayer, to venture before his holy majesty, or to come tremblingly. We think of Queen Esther, that she must go in unto the king. Oh, how she would have gone tremblingly. Oh, so fearfully. And yet she must go. In one sense, there was no alternative. She must go. She must venture. Oh, she came with that boldness. Because the Lord would draw her. And the Lord will draw all of his people to the throne of his grace. And then, therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And in being drawn to the throne of grace, are we not drawn to one who fills that throne? the King of Grace, even Jesus, the friend of publicans and sinners. He who came not to call the righteous but sinners unto repentance. Or he, despised by the Pharisees, by the scribes, by those of religion, but loved of those who were taught their need of him. This man receiveth sinners. What's so amazing is that those words spoken by the Pharisees were spoken in derision, scorn, hatred, enmity, rejection, to put him down. But those words blessed to a soul by the Holy Spirit perhaps has been such an encouragement to venture to the Lord Jesus. Oh, to come to him. And is it not the Lord, the Holy Spirit working in the heart, drawing that soul unto himself? I also love the account of the woman with the issue of blood. You see, really, we have here this concerning our text, this dear woman, 12 years with this affliction, 12 years in disappointment, 12 years of distress, 12 years of sorrow, 12 years of grief. And then she heard of Jesus. And she believed in him. Let us be very clear of that. She was blessed with living faith. She believed in him. She believed that he was able to cure her, save her. Oh, what faith. But she must come to him. She felt unworthy, undeserving. She felt so poor, but she felt so needy. She felt so troubled, but she must come, she must venture. She had it in her heart because the Lord had put it there. If I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. She must venture. Oh, she was weak. She was faint. But she must come. And then that crowd around him will be found. But still she must come. He is the one thing needful. Her only hope, her only plea. Oh, she must come. She came prayerfully. Oh, she sought him diligently. Oh, she had that real burden in her spirit, in her soul. And she came, and she touched, and she received healing virtue. Was it of herself? Her own strength? Her own might? No. A fulfillment of our text, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. She felt her need of him. Because the Lord had taught her that. Or do we truly this afternoon feel our need of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from all of our sins? Do we know ourselves as sinners? Do we know we have that malady of sin which no earthly physician can heal, no person can heal? Have we been taught that we cannot save ourselves, that none other can save? Have we been taught, if ever my poor soul be saved, 'tis Christ must be the way? Oh, do we feel to be drawn to him? Draw me. We will run after thee. Lord, draw me to thyself. And in coming to the Lord Jesus, like that dear woman, in a sense, really, they come to his feet. How many do we read of in the Gospels who fell down before him? I know the Syrophoenician was one. The man full of leprosy was another. And there were many others also. They fell down before him. They worshipped him. They fell down at his feet. And so the child of God, in being drawn to the Lord Jesus, is drawn to him, all to fall down at his feet. And then drawn to him to plead for mercy, pardon, forgiveness. Oh, when the man sick of the palsy was brought to the Lord Jesus, born of four, and let down through the tiling before the Lord Jesus, I think the first thing Jesus said, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." And this offended many there. Who can forgive sins but God only? But Jesus is Almighty God, who can forgive sins. Oh, to hear it said, the sweet, blessed application of it, thy sins, which are many, have all been forgiven thee. Is there one here this afternoon? That's your great burden, to know your sins forgiven. You dare not deny that you are a sinner. But being drawn to the Lord Jesus, who can forgive sins. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up upon the cross at Calvary. Behold that scene of matchless grace. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, who has made a curse for us. Oh, to know our sins imputed to him. Dear friends, if our sins, and oh, do not deny that you're not a sinner, we're all sinners, every one of us. If our sins have not been imputed to the Lord Jesus, what hope is there for you and me? What hope on that tremendous judgment day? Or what hope for our never dying souls if Jesus has not paid for punishment instead? But now is the day of salvation. Oh, may the Lord in his mercy so awaken and quicken and draw us unto himself. There upon a cross, he shed his own heart's precious blood. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Oh, may we come pleading that blood that does for sin atone. In the book of Leviticus, there is, especially in the earlier chapters, much of the offerings, how the children of Israel were to come with their offerings, their sin offerings, their burnt offerings, their whole offerings and the like, all setting forth in a typical way the great offering of the Lord Jesus. But really, when the children of Israel came, they came confessing their sins. And then upon that which was to be offered, as it were, the sins were imputed, because that one to be offered must die, the blood must be shed, the life is in the blood. Or that which was to be sacrificed must die. And of its blood taking, it was applied upon the mercy seat and upon the horns of the altar, setting forth different things. We do not have time or perhaps ability to speak of these things now. But really it sets forth the precious blood of Jesus, and again in Leviticus we read of the atonement. God and sinners reconciled, brought together. Where there was that separation, sin separates. The Lord Jesus reconciles. Atonement, the glorious doctrine of atonement. The sin atoning blood of the Lord Jesus. And then time and again we also read, and they shall be clean. Oh, if the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sins, we are clean. Oh, we are found cleansed from all of our sins. It cannot be the precious blood of Jesus cleanses from some sins, most sins, no. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. All sin. Therefore, with loving kindness, have I drawn thee. But oh, to behold that robe of righteousness. Who are these who need this robe of righteousness? Well, these who have had their own filthy rags of their own self-righteousness stripped away and removed. These who feel to be naked, open, and exposed to the wrath of God. These who are taught by the Spirit they have no righteousness of their own, no goodness of their own, nothing to plead unto God. But all faith to behold that wonderful, glorious, spotless robe of Christ's righteousness, and to know that imputed, to be found clothed upon. We have three scriptures really setting forth the glorious righteousness of Christ and the poor sinner clothed upon in that righteousness. Firstly, accepted in the Beloved. We shall never be accepted before God in any other way but in the Beloved. Then again in Colossians, and ye are complete in him, or to be found in him. And then again, perfect in Christ Jesus. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view. His saints in him are perfect too. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Behold the wonderful compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. You read of his having compassion upon the multitudes. You read of him speaking of that certain Samaritan, setting forth himself, who coming that way and saw him, had compassion upon him. Oh dear soul, do you need the Lord Jesus to have compassion upon you? That he is full of compassion, that his compassions, they fail not, or that his compassions are so great and so wonderful. He is a great high priest who can have compassion upon the ignorant and on those who are out of the way. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And all to see the offices of the Lord Jesus. He is a great high priest and the mediator, the advocate with the Father, the intercessor above. Oh, to see the Lord Jesus in all that he has done for his people, saving them with an everlasting salvation. See him in his precious word. The word of God, the written word, the incarnate word. But these loved with an everlasting love, they will be drawn to the word of God. Oh, it will be their meat, it will be their drink. Oh, it will be their heavenly manna. It will be their living bread. Man shall not live by bread only, but upon every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord shall man live. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee unto my word. Those precious promises which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus, I leave you with one precious word. And we really come back to his doctrine of election, set forth here. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Amen. Thank you.
collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund, and the tea will be served shortly on the right-hand side of the chapel. Let us close with hymn 690. On wings of love the Saviour flies, and freely left his native skies to take a human birth. The wise and righteous men go near, his wonders see, his sermons hear, and think him nothing worth. Hymn 690.
Oh,
May the grace of the Saviour and the love of the Father and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.